Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. And we got a lot of good stuff left for you today. Rob Jollis is going to be with us. Robert L. Jollis is the author of a number of books. Customer-Centered Selling, one of my favorite books on salesmanship. Also, How to Run Seminars and Workshops. And he's got a new book out, which he's going to tell us about in just a little bit. That'll be coming out in a couple of months. But more importantly, he's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. And most importantly, he's our good friend. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you, sir.
I know today you want to talk about presentations and the whole, alpha through omega issue of presentations. And so here's my first question. Mm-hmm. You're talking about presenting a proposal, right, for prospects. Is that what you mean?
Oh, when I say presentations, what I'm referring to is, seeing as I have my seminar book just came out in
right.
Third edition and was released, I wanted to talk about actual presentations to a client, but not one-on-one, but in a group environment.
Not necessarily. And would these be selling presentations or instructing presentations?
Well, it's funny you ask that because, you know, as kids we always learned there was an informative presentation and a persuasive presentation. So when you ask me is it selling or/slash informative, my answer to it is every presentation I've ever given in 22 years is a selling presentation.
Right.
Even if it's informative, I have to sell that audience that the information I have mm-hmm. is of value to them, or I'm going to pay for it over the next couple of hours or days.
Right.
So, to me, there's always a selling element to it.
All right. Well, why does a small business owner need to know about making better presentations?
Okay. Well, I think a lot of times, and even I'm guilty of this, we all focus on the first 4 to 7 minutes, and I think that's a great – if I pick one topic, I might very well pick that one. But we've talked about that one a little bit. So I think the second thing that a business has to realize is that those first 4 to 7 minutes are geared to gain the attention of that audience, and that's fine. What I want your people to know today is now what do we do with the rest of that presentation
mm-hmm.
to sustain that interest? Will we get that client because the 20-minute presentation we just gave was so incredibly informative, or will we get that client because the 20-minute presentation that they just heard was so interesting and kept us involved and made us believe in the presenter and the company that put it on? And that's why I think today what I'd like to hone in on is let's do away with the first 4 to 7 minutes. We now have the attention of the client. How do we sustain
that? Well, before we do that, though, I want to stick for that first 4 to 7 minutes for just a moment. I want you to tell me what we've done to mm-hmm. get their attention to start with.
What have we done?
Have we told a joke? Have we done some slapstick? Have we said something shocking? What have we done?
Okay. And by the way, on your calendar, book my next visit because we'll have to finish this in two parts. But let's get at that question because I told you it is the most important part. We have multiple ways. For instance, when you say, have we told a joke? Well, I can start with an anecdote. I can start with rhetorical questions. I can start with humor, whatever's comfortable within my style. But I'm going to answer you specifically, Jim. I'm going to tell you that I am going to throw out a whiff-em, a what's in it for me.
Right.
I know that the most important adult learning characteristic that I have to address instantly is a need to learn what's mm-hmm. in it for them. So mm-hmm. in that first 4 to 7 minutes, I'm not only going to tell you what's in it for you, I'm going to tell you what we're going to learn. I'm going to tell you how we're going to learn it. I'm going to give you a big picture goal in one sentence. I'm going to tell you what I expect out of you. I'm going to tell you where my information came from. I'm going to tell you why I chose that source. And I'm going to tell you where whatever I'm going to talk about has worked in the past to gain support and more interest.
And
I call that a U-popper, and it's actually a process. And what it does is it addresses multiple learning characteristics that are critical.
One of the things I want to make sure that we get across, though, Rob, mm-hmm. is that you are a professional trainer. You're a professional mm-hmm. speaker.
Yes.
And so when you talk about these things, you're going to be using those kinds of references. But I believe that very specifically that most, if not all, everything that you're going to talk about can be used to our listeners' advantage when they are literally making a proposal presentation to a prospect or to a customer.
Well, I happen to agree with you, and I have clients that have actually used some of the presentation process to create written proposals.
So, folks, if you think, well, I'm never going to be a trainer like Rob, well, the truth is that that's not really true. And so we're going to talk about this some more right after these messages. We're going to get Rob to remind us what that U-Popper is when we come back. It's 2010. We'll be right back with our good buddy, Rob Jalous. Stay with us. Mr. Mark Knopfler, ladies and gentlemen, on guitar from the Dire Straits. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Rob Jalous is our guest. He's the author of Customer-Centered Selling and Seminars and Workshops, or I should say How to Run Seminars and Workshops. And Rob, the new book is called
The Way of the Road Warrior,
the
coming
Way
out
of Road
in
Warrior.
October.
And you've heard about that book from Rob on this show for a long time. It's finally become a reality, and it's coming out in October. And you're going to launch it on this show, aren't you, Rob?
I sure am. Looking forward to it.
We are, too. Okay, now I know you said U-Popper. You talked to us about U-Poppers many times on the show before, but I just love hearing you say it. Tell us what it is again.
U-Popper is an acronym. It stands for the U is utility. That's the what's in it for me. The P is the product. What are you going to talk about? But I mean in one sentence. The other P is the process. How are you going to talk about it? Specifically, what two or three points are you bringing to this client? The O stands for the objective. What do you expect from this audience or from these clients when you're done? The P stands for process justification. Where did you get the information? The other P stands for proof of ability. Where else can you prove to us in some way that this has actually worked in our environment for someone else? Mm-hmm. And an R stands for a review, which is just a light touching of the utility, because it can take 4 to 7 minutes to go through a process like that.
Right.
All I can tell your listeners is this. You go through that first 4 to 7 minutes and you get your ducks lined up in terms of adult learning, and you won't have to worry about the rest of that presentation because you're going to have them right in the palm of your hand.
Right. Right. All right. Now I'm gonna turn you back loose on the life after the first 4 to 7 minutes. Where do we go now?
Well, that's what worries me because I think sometimes, like I said, we heavy up so much in the front as we should that now we've got to keep it there. And to me, to keep it there,
sustaining that interest.
Exactly. And I think some people again try and think of one good idea, when in fact, what I've written about is 20 ideas. And I say that because I think each one, to me, symbolically, is almost like pushing the back of their chairs. For instance, if you just vary your methods, let's take that one as number one, which means I know we all fall in love with PowerPoint, we fall in love with a handout or whatever, but if we can just vary it, maybe we're going to put on a PowerPoint presentation for this client, and then we're going to step over to a flip chart and actually freehand and draw something, and then perhaps we're going to have a handout so we can actually move around and change our space a little bit. Varying your methods is actually a way to keep people interested.
Mm-hmm.
Your voice, your pacing, the way you pace.
Moving around. Whenever I speak anywhere, I ask them, please give me a remote lavalier mic so I don't have to stand in one place. I won't have to. I won't stand in one place.
Right. Well, I'm the same way. I ask for two things, and actually I bring one. But one is a lavalier mic, and the second is an Air Mouse. And if you go to Best Buy or Circuit City, you're going to see for about $30 or $40 some real nice Logitech.
You can get those at Office Depot, too, by the way.
Okay. Is that a sponsor of yours?
Go ahead. All right, no, I just like to mention their name.
I love that store. But anyway, that allows you now to walk around and not have to keep running back to the computer. But my point to you is, with your pacing, whether sometimes you speed up your voice and sometimes you slow it down for emphasis, actually keeps people interested. Anecdotal stories, you brought that up a second ago. go to Bartlett's. There are many different publications where you can get some really interesting stories. I wouldn't do that 15 times,
no.
But in a 20-minute presentation, to have maybe two anecdotal stories in there, what a nice mix.
Well, you know what else? Sometimes if you've done that kind of research, which I recommended, which actually is kind of fun, the books you were talking about, they're really a lot of fun to read. But sometimes someone will ask you a question that you just happen to have an anecdote loaded up for.
That's a really good point.
You can't use it all by itself, but if somebody sets you up for it, and if you've researched what you're talking with them about enough, and you know what's on their mind, there's probably a 50-50 chance you'll get to use that anecdote.
And when you slip into that, Jim, you're going to show some mental dexterity that client wasn't expecting.
Right.
It's really a nice move.
Yeah, it is.
Let me go over one more. I know we probably have a break coming up.
Go ahead. You're in good shape.
Good. Sense of humor, and I bring that one up only because we brought it up right before we went to commercial. I have that in my top 20, but I want to stress this. Sense of humor, if it comes natural to you. One of the things at Xerox they used to do was send me to Rochester to work with some of the senior VPs, and the first thing they'd say is, could you write me a joke? And I already thought, oh, is this going to be trouble? Nothing's worse than seeing somebody without a sense of humor attempt to be funny.
Yep.
Folks, there's 19 more and 20 more where that came from. If it's natural to you, great. If it's not, let's move to another one.
Well, one of the things that I found are the people, you know, there are people who, I heard a comedian one time say the difference between a good comedian and a bad comedian is a bad comedian says funny things. A good comedian says things funny.
Well, I think you've got that. You hit that right on the head.
And so some people can tell a joke, some people can't. As you say, it's horrible when they can't. But the main one of the things I found is that the best way to use humor in a presentation is to use it on yourself.
Yes, I agree with that. It does soften you. Sometimes we work so hard when we present to establish this monster credibility that we can actually intimidate an audience.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it is nice to just poke a little fun at yourself. Makes the audience feel better.
Right, absolutely. Rob, the book is called How to Run Seminars and Workshops. That's one of them. The other one is Customer-Centered Selling and The Way of the Road Warrior. Is that right? Is that the third one?
That's coming out in October.
That's coming in October. Quick break. Right back with Rob Jellis. We got more presentation stuff. We may not get all 20 of them in today. Tintail, stay with us.
Silver horses run down moving in your dark
We're back at 7-till. I'm Jim Lysingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to check out my new blog, which is jimsblog.biz, but you can also find it at the website, top left corner. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and don't forget to go back and check out all the other things that Rob Jellis has deposited on our website over the years, and some great insights into salesmanship and other important issues that he talks to us about. Rob, we need your website too, please.
www.jolles.com.
And that's where they can find out not only the books, but also about all the things that you do, your organization, and how if they would like to have someone to help them get their presentations off the ground or do a better job of selling, get their people trained, you can help them with that, can't you?
That's correct. And actually, we're also launching a website, wayoftheroadwarrior.com, that will be up in a couple of weeks.
And that's the book we're going to launch here in October. But in the meantime, between now and then, you're going to Poland. You're leaving almost as we speak for Poland for a week or so. And we wish you via con Dios.
Thank you. I'll learn what that means when I'm over there, and thank you.
Well, they won't speak that language. That's Spanish. But I don't know how to say that in Polish. But the thing is, we're glad you're going, and we want to hear about the trip when you get back. Let's get back to our presentation, putting our best foot forward in presentations. What's the next thing that we need to know?
Well, I, as we were on break, I was kind of trimming down and thinking, what's the best thing I can do for the last couple minutes? So I'm going to tell you, and this is an interest-sustaining slash be careful, and that is, what's the best thing you can do to answer your question? I would say lighten your material. We're a lot of times, we're given 20 minutes by a client. What you don't realize is that's an audition. That's what it is. It's
mm-hmm.
We'll call it a sales call if you like, but it's an audition. Really, and I don't want to break anyone's heart, but I'm not so sure the client is actually going to be able to do what you are telling them to do. All they're going to do is lean back and say, do I want to do business with this individual? Mm-hmm. So normally when I consult with someone and they say, well, this is our presentation, I say, good. Now, what I want is 4 minutes to 6 minutes of actual information, because the rest of that 14 minutes or so, I want to see the questions you're going to ask of them. Mm-hmm. I want to know how you're going to involve them. And I don't want just a factual recall question. I'd like a case study question or a comparison. More creative questioning actually keeps the audience interested. But to everyone who's listening, if you remember one thing from this conversation in terms of your own presentations for your clients, stop falling in love with your material, pull it out, and realize that if you keep them involved, you lighten up the material, you leave rooms for things like you pop or anecdotes.
And what's in it? And what's in it for them?
Exactly. And you do all those things, you're going to see that's going to fill a lot of your time. And I know you're scratching your head thinking, but I thought I was going to teach them blank. No, that's my job. I'm the corporate trainer. Your job is to sell that group or to get that client to want to do business with you. And that means enough information so they see where what you have, but a lot more of it around trying to keep them interested and appeal to their sense of...
So you're saying that we can never forget the component of any presentation that is about connecting with the presenter.
Yep. Let's remember, in Selling 101, the more the client speaks, the more they like you.
Right. But they have to like you if they're going to do business with you. That's the thing. I mean, people typically don't do business with people they don't like, do they?
Jim, ask yourself the last time you bought something from someone who you really didn't like, but you thought the product was okay.
Well, I might have done it one time because I was already there, but it wouldn't happen twice.
There you go.
Yeah, and none of us can survive on one-offs, can we?
No. No, we can't. And when we have that opportunity in front of an audience, it is a golden opportunity. I just really encourage people to put a lot of time and effort around that message. The message is sadly less important than you might think. It's all those things we do to surround it. It's a U-popper up front. It's pulling multiple ideas throughout, just that movement, those handouts, all those things we talked about. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you've got a client that says, that's who I want to do business with.
I got 30 seconds. What's one last thought?
One last thought? Well, I would say that the biggest thing I can encourage people, and I have it as number 20 on the list, is I call it the great equalizer, energy and enthusiasm. If you can drop your materials, you can stumble on some words, do those things that we're really trying to avoid. Have that bulb blow on the LCD. I don't care. You show up with energy and enthusiasm, mm-hmm. you're going to have an audience that wants to work with you.
Well,
most important thing.
Exactly. A good presenter can heal a bad plan, but a bad presenter can ruin a good plan.
I agree with that statement.
Yeah. Give us your website one more time.
www.jolles.com. Love to hear from you.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it very much. Have a good trip to Poland. We're looking forward to hearing about that, and we'll see you in October.
Take care, everybody.
Rob Jolles, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be too, but I got to take a quick break. On the other side of these break, we'll be back. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Whatever you do, don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.